It's hard to believe. It is 10 days until Christmas. I hope that you've begun to get everything in order and started to make your plans and get your gifts purchased. I know that a lot of people find a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of excitement in the getting and the purchasing of gifts. And it takes a special kind of personality, a very talented type of person to get the right gift. People who are so good at getting that perfect gift, well, I envy them. Because I, on the other hand, I've never been quite good at that. I'm a terrible gift giver. Terrible gift giver. And birthdays and Christmas, they give me nothing but stress. I'm the kind of guy who ends up buying a gift that's good for me. So poor Rin will get a bowling ball or something like that. And that's a problem, because today we're speaking on joy and the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. And certainly, this is the season for joy. And as the Apostle Paul said, he himself, he learned to take great joy in all circumstances. And he's encouraged everyone else to do the same. The question that I want to tackle today, this morning, is how can we learn? How can we enable ourselves to take joy in things that, frankly, we don't enjoy? Well, first we need to examine what joy is. And Austin made a really good demonstration this morning on the difference between happiness and joy. And last year, Ren made that same point. But I want to say it again. Joy and happiness are two very different things. Happiness, it comes and goes, depending on the situation you're in. When you're feeling good, when you're feeling full of comfort, you feel happiness. It's when everything is going okay, or better than okay. It's an emotional response. Joy, however, is different. While sometimes people will use the word joy as an expression of a feeling, It's a little bit more than an emotional response. Joy used by Paul in our scriptures, Paul uses it as an action that we are supposed to convey. It's an activity, it's a verb, if you will, that we are supposed to just pour out from us despite what's going on around us. And in today's scripture, Paul is giving the Thessalonians three different things that he encourages them to implement their lives as they continue to walk in Jesus. He implores us to rejoice always, pray continuously, and to give thanks in all circumstances. Paul concludes by saying, "This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In other words, this is the type of life that God wants for the believer. And I want to emphasize that. Paul says that this is God's will for our lives. Paul's not just asking us to feign joyfulness, fake it when you're not feeling good. You know, I've been around people who are going through hard times, sometimes through great loss in their lives, great pain. And I know that there's that urge to try to comfort that person, to try to say the right thing that will make them feel better. Because when that person is hurting, we really want that hurt to go away. But more often than not, I find that that attitude is because it makes me uncomfortable. and I want their hurt to go away because it's hurting me as well. But we're not to have this fake type of joy that we just pretend to have, even though we're going through suffering. Paul is urging Christians to rejoice, to take joy, to actively display joy in all situations, because it is good for us, and because it's God's will for our lives. Paul, throughout Scripture, embraces that God's will for us is good. It builds us up when we pour it out. And the joy that Paul has encouraged us to express is not something that's beyond our reach. This is a joy we can all have. The joy that Paul speaks of is not joy that we find in everyday circumstances. It's not the joy that we find when we go to the store and somebody pays for us, or the joy that we find when we receive a great gift. The joy that Paul is talking about is the joy that we find in new life in Jesus Christ. Because that joy changes everything. It changes the way we see all things. And the more that we start to lean on God, the more we begin to trust God, because of this joy, it begins to pour out into the circumstances around us that we face. And then we, in turn, learn to pour out that joy all around us, even when we are encountering crisis and trials in our lives. In Romans 8:28, Paul says that he was convinced in all circumstances that God is at work in behalf of his people. You know, Paul says this. And Paul, of all people, had every right to have doubts, and at times to not be so joyful, because Scripture reveals to us that Paul had a hard life, filled with beatings, filled with times of hunger, times of imprisonment. But even through those times, why Paul stood out is that he was able to rejoice, and he was continuously able to give thanks. And Paul says that he has this power, not because he's a special person or he just happens to be a happy guy. Paul says that he has this power because he is leaning on God for his strength and for his hope. Paul's faith was unwavering because he knows that God will overcome one day all the pain that we face, even death. In Romans 8, I believe it's 35 through 39, Paul reminds us in Jesus that through life, no matter what we encounter, no matter what we face, the last word ultimately belongs to God. And God has told us that the last word is resurrection, is life. Now, as Austin pointed out this morning, we may not always be happy, but we can rejoice in all things because we know, we have a firm belief, we have faith that God will make everything new one day. And Christians, when we accept this, when we embrace this, when we embrace God's will for our lives, and we begin to rejoice and give thanks in all things, it will build our faith. It will bring us closer to God, because then we are living in God's will. I have a friend who was just the most positive person in my life, just pouring out joy in everything that she did. I think if you take the time we to think about it, we all have somebody like that in our lives, or we've all experienced somebody who is always smiling, always encouraging, and taking great joy and whatever they're involved in. And yet I had the privilege of knowing my friend a little bit more than just a casual friendship. And we had, sometimes she had to endure great times of trial and endurance and an unhappiness in life. When she had kids, she had to face difficulties with work, family, and the uncertainties that we all face in life. But what always stood out to me, what always marked her as just that much more of a faithful person, was her willingness to accept these parts of life. She didn't complain. She didn't want to be freed from them per se, but she accepted them. And throughout those times in her life, she went to God and she prayed for peace, for understanding, for guidance. And she would continue to express what I can best describe as a sad joy. And always would continue to thank God. And it's not because she was happy. It's because she trusted in God's promise and knew that while she may be suffering now, one day all things will be made anew. She actively chose to live God's will for her life, and in turn, she was strong in faith, and she still stands out to me, even though I haven't talked to her in 10 years. It's the model that I still keep close to my heart of a faithful Christian. But I suppose this morning, the question that we need to ask ourselves is that even though we can identify this in other people, where do we begin? Well, this morning, I want to talk about three things that we can start to do in order to cultivate this kind of joy into our lives. We can discover that our God is joyful. We can find joy in other Christians, and we can give our problems to God. The first point is that God is joyful. It's important that as Christians, we're able to see that in Scripture. Because, and by large, a lot of people have the impression that God is just some sort of law enforcer, that he's always angry, that he's always upset with what's going on. And the truth is that God created us, his people, with the capacity to have joy. And the Bible says that we were made in God's image. God is a God of joy. He is joy. In Genesis, during the creation narrative, we see examples of God expressing his joy in what he's made. In Zephaniah 3:17, the prophet says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight with you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing." God takes delight in his children. He loves them and rejoices over you with singing. The prophet says that God will break out into song when he thinks about you. It's something that we don't consider every day. There's more. Psalm 104:31 says, "May the glory of the Lord endure forever. And may the Lord rejoice in his work." Isaiah 65:18-19. "But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people." God has expressed great joy and pleasure with the creation. And we too are made to express that same quality. It may not come natural to us, but it's God's will for our lives. And when we see God being joyful, we know we also have the capacity for it. And we'll begin to see our God as a joyful God who wants to be with us. We can accept his ways and begin to walk in the path he has set for us. Second, we can find joy with others. If we're serious about experiencing joy, being able to have that life of joy that Paul was able to embody, then we also have to make sure that we're living in community with others. We can't do it alone. Paul wasn't a super Christian. He had other people around him who were lifting him up, praying for him, supporting for him, and were there with him during these times of trouble. Romans 12, 15. Paul challenges us to rejoice with those who rejoice. It's mutual. It goes between peoples. And we're not able to do this. We can't actually rejoice with others who rejoice unless we are connected to others, unless we have a deeper relationship with the people around us within the body of Christ. And the consequence of that is that if we're not in fellowship with believers, our joy slowly leaks out. It's hard to be strong all on your own. A few weeks ago, I was speaking on Philippians, and Paul, if you remember, he was facing certain death in prison. And in Philippians 1, verses 25 through 26, Paul says this: "Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Jesus Christ will overflow on account of me." You know, in this verse, Paul is expressing to the Philippians that there was still purpose in his life, even if he was locked up in prison, and even if he wasn't going to see the light of day again. Paul still was able to receive and express joy. He said he was able to express joy by seeing their faith and how they've grown in their faith. And he was hoping that they could also receive joy in seeing that he was having joy even while he was locked up in prison, by witnessing joy during his dire circumstances. Paul and Philippians, they had a tight relationship. And one thing that they often did for each other was to bring joy to each other through their community and through their relationship with each other throughout Paul's ministry. So I want to emphasize that we need each other to strengthen our faith. It's all over the Bible that Christians, we live in community. We are one body, brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if we're not attending church on a regular basis or not interacting with brothers and sisters in Christ outside of church, it's much more difficult to grow and to take confidence in God's promises when we're not experiencing them throughout daily life. When we do that, when we begin to incorporate these loving relationships in our lives, we're able to be more joyful, and we're able to experience or to give the experience of joy to those around us. That being said, I do encourage all of you to go down after service today and just spend some time saying hi to people, being in fellowship. That's just a start, though, because worship also happens outside the service as well. It's why prayer groups, Bible studies, church activities, and fellowship events exist. We're called to be a community, and we need each other to stay on the path. The third and final way that I have for us to cultivate joy this morning is to give your problems over to God. Happiness is the absence of something that's undesirable. It's something, the absence of pain, the absence of suffering or disappointment. But Christian joy is so different. It is the response to the presence of something undesirable that we're facing in life. It's the response of having the Lord Jesus in our hearts. It's our response to God. And it's that expression in action. For example, this morning, in Acts 16, the authorities, in this story here, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Paul and Silas were imprisoned. They were arrested. And they were severely flogged. They were beaten, stripped of their clothing, and then thrown into prison. They were locked in an inner cell, and they had their feet placed in stocks. I don't know about you, but if that were me, I would be scared. I would wonder why I'm there. I would wonder what I might have done to offend God, or if I had stepped in the wrong direction. But there's a different response that we see this morning. In verse 25, when all this happened to Paul and Silas, it says that they were praying and singing hymns to God. Instead of praying for God to free them, to save them from prison, to relieve them from this pain, they turned, and in this tough situation, they saw an opportunity to rejoice. That's something to consider. Because we too can experience that type of joy, but we can only live that way when we give the daily problems, the daily challenges that we face over to God with the confidence that God is ultimately the one in charge. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 7:4. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. In James 1:2, James says to consider it pure joy whenever you face many types of trials. It's a lifestyle that we embrace. It's looking at the circumstances that we face and part of a bigger picture. In order to do this, it does take a conscious decision. And Paul has told us that we need to work at it. We can't manufacture joy, but we can give our problems over to the Lord by seeking Him with everything that we have. You know, this morning I mentioned an example that's very personal to me. Gift giving. I'm not so good at it, and I tend to be very negative when it comes to having to go out and buy gifts and being at malls. But what if I were to embrace joy even during this? I think that I can find things to be joyful for, even though I may not be happy shopping for gifts. For example, I can take joy that I have a beautiful wife that I can buy a gift for. I can take joy that God has blessed me with the resources, with the time, and the availability to go out and purchase a gift, to have that time and freedom. to be able to do so. And I can be thankful. I can be very thankful that 8 years ago, my whole family got together because we're all terrible at buying gifts, and we said, we'll never buy gifts for each other again. I'm very thankful for that one. A lot of freedom. But this is even bigger than that. Matthew Henry, a Bible commentary scholar, he put it this way. He was actually in a dangerous situation. He was held up. And after some thieves robbed him and took his wallet, he carried on the same mindset. He said, let me be thankful first, because I had never been robbed before. Second, because even though they took my wallet, they didn't take my life. And even though they took all of what I had, it wasn't much. And fourth, I want to be thankful because it was I who was robbed and not the one who was robbing. Even in bad circumstances, there are things that we can take great joy in. So I encourage you to look at joy in your life, to examine the three things that we talked about this morning, and to consider how you can take steps into following Jesus and to put His word before all things. We've been called to share that God is good and faithful, and I pray that as we go on this morning that you can begin to truly believe that God is in charge and He has made promises of new life and of new renewed spirit. So even if you are experiencing a tough time right now, as many of us are, you too can remain in God's will and rejoice in knowing that you are a child of God and you can rest in the Lord of all creation who loves you and has taken great joy in you. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord. We thank you for our lives, that you've given us a capacity to love, laugh, and learn together, God. I pray that as we continue to walk together in faith, God, that you give us hearts to build each other up, to lift each other up with joy as we continue to walk forward in faith. Give us hearts like Paul and Silas, and help us to trust that no matter what's happening, you are the one who is in charge of everything, God. So we give this to you this morning. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.